Equipers Lorraine, it's such an honor to be here. Thank you so much. And for the church, I want to honor you guys. It was such a blessing when we walked in here. We were greeted. We were almost tackled by love. And I just want to thank you guys for your hospitality. It is really cool to be here. I come from Wellington, so we lead the Shofar congregation. We took Shofar Wellington and Shofar Paul and brought it together as one church. And we are having church on a property between the two towns in a tent. I call it our revival tent. It is fun. When it is 35 degrees, I'm telling you, the people that come to church, I know they are okay with Jesus. They don't need pastoral care. They are fine. I'm telling you. But it's we're seeing beautiful stuff happening in and around us, and we're seeing the Lord doing some beautiful things, and I'll share some of it with you in a moment. I'm married. My wife, Frankie, they can be here this morning. We've got some other, she has a role to play in our local congregation. We've got two boys, Joshua and John. They are 11 and 8. And what can I tell you about myself? I grew up in the Boland. Okay, my surname in Tolbach, you know where Tolbach is? I grew up in Tolbach. My surname is Loftus. Okay, well, that's a dangerous surname to have in the Boland. You can get stoned for having a surname like that. But what makes it worse is my wife has got one sister, okay, and she married a Versveld. Do you understand my pain? But I did go for inner healing and deliverance, and I'm okay right now. So, everybody's got their cross to bear. That is mine. Anyway, so it's just an honor for us. We planted the church about 13 years ago, and I'm telling you, it is just an honor to see what the Lord is doing. After 13 years, my testimony is this, that Jesus builds his church. Amen. And then he used people like us. And that's the beautiful testimony. He is truly, he's building his church. I've got a very simple message that I want to share with you this morning. I want to talk to you about Jesus. This is a charcoal painting that my wife did on the weekend of Convergence. And she did this painting. We were sitting in our kitchen, and worship music was playing, and we were kind of in worship, and we just both started like experiencing the Holy Spirit so strongly, and we started crying, and the scripture out of Colossians came to our minds that Jesus is the image of the invisible God, and we were just pondering this and praying together, and then she just felt she needed to stay home and do this, and she did this. And the Lord, through this, kind of kickstart us in a journey. To transition us and to lead us in a place and help us to keep first things first. Okay, now I don't know about you, but the closer I get to Jesus, the more I realize I don't have a clue. Okay? It's just, he's just so much bigger and greater than we, our minds can even fathom. And the way he works is so much different than the way we work. The way we think, the way he does stuff, it's just different. You know, the psalmist in Psalm 86, 11 says, teach me your way, Lord. Teach me your way so that I may know truth, that I can walk in truth. Even Moses, I think it's in Exodus 33, he says, God, teach me your way so that I may know you. Like, God has got a way of doing stuff, and it's so much different than the way we do stuff. And I'll give you a few examples. So we started seeing Jesus doing amazing stuff just in our midst and in our worship time. So we've got, we really believe that Jesus heals, and Jesus heals today. Amen. And in our worship band, we're just on this journey. We've got one of our worship leaders and drummers, he was diagnosed with MS. And And I asked him, I want you to be brave and continue leading. So sometimes his right hand, it freezes up and he can't strum, and he's an excellent drummer, and his hand freezes up and he can't drum. And we just said, worship doesn't look like perfection. The moment his hand gets stuck, that's a worship moment. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's not found in the perfection. It's found in the hearts of people. So we're just on this journey. Lord, we want to worship you and exalt you. And then all of a sudden, we start seeing Jesus healing people during our worship time without anybody praying for them. Hallelujah. Jesus' way, we would think, no, I need to lay my hands. No, Jesus can just walk in and do what Jesus does. Yeah. Amen. He's been God for a long time. He's been God longer than we've been on this earth, okay? He knows what he's doing. So we've just started to see people getting healed. And this one guy, Johan Kemp, I mean, I saw him in front of, before church started, I see Johan. And Johan, he's a big guy, beautiful guy. We've come a long time. He says, Niels, I'm in such pain, I cannot take it. I've been to the doctors, I need divine intervention. And I'm like, the good pastor that I am, I didn't even pray for him at that stage. I was just like, I was going somewhere else. Okay? Some room for growth there. But I was in my task, a little bit in task mode, and I'm like, come on, Johan, I'm going to trust the Lord with you. And we went into worship. During worship, he was sitting down and he felt a hand being placed on his side and moving up and down here over his hip. And all of a sudden, he jumps up. All the pain is gone. His back is healed completely. That same morning, there was a guy there. He had problems with his kidneys, like serious problems, urinating blood and stuff. And he was about to go to the specialist. Boom, Jesus heals him without anybody praying with him. Right? An ear, nose, and throat doctor in our congregation went for an MRI that week. He had massive back pain. And he's like, during worship, all of a sudden, he's like, whoa, something feels different. And he starts moving. Now, when a specialist doctor tells you he's healed, I kind of take that as a, okay, it's okay. All right? Healed. Instantly. And I'm just on this journey to know that, whoa, my ways isn't Jesus' way. Like, he can, you know what I'm learning? When Jesus steps into the room, the rules change. The rules change. What we would perceive as the rules on this earth, it changes. He moves them. He heals. He awakens people from dead. He knows. He's just so good. We saw, this might be a weird one for some of you, but we saw gold dust manifest on somebody's hand during worship. Now, why would God do that? I wish I could tell you. I don't know. I don't know, but it was just, we were in worship, resting in Jesus' presence, and boom, something like that happens. I don't know why. We had, in the weekend of Convergence, Cheslin, he asked me, hey, pray for me. We were praying, and the power of the Lord started hitting him, and he went to the ground. Now, he's 20 kilos heavier than I am, okay? And it kind of caught me off guard. It was one of those, I don't know if you've seen these church moments, but it was not a beautiful church moment, okay? So he's shaking, going to the ground. I'm trying to catch him. He falls against me. We both fall to the ground. He's shaking. My legs go up over my head as I'm falling. Everybody is running. Are you guys okay? Are you guys okay? And but God is touching this man. I got my first ministry injury that day. And I kind of felt like chuffed with my ministry injury, because that next day my shoulder was so sore. But he had this encounter with Jesus, right? And he climbs back into his car in Somerset West and start driving back to Wellington. And all of a sudden, a light appears in his car. And an angelic being is sitting next to him in his car, driving with him back to Wellington. He said he didn't know what to do. He was just praying in tongues all the time. What I want to say to you guys is Jesus is real. and he's moving and he's working, right? I love, one guy says, we all have a free will until God starts moving sovereignly. Okay? Now, something God told me as a leader was, hey, Neil, sometimes you need to get out of the way. Get out of the way that I can lead the church, that I can build the church. And I'm like, yes, Jesus, you go in front. I want to follow you. But there's something for us to understand, to start understanding the way he works, the way his world works, because it works differently than our world. Now, if you have your Bibles with me, with you, not with me, with you, I'm actually Afrikaans, so I want to just apologize for my English. If you don't understand it, just pray in tongues softly, and we trust that something will grab your heart. Matthew 6:33, it says the following. We're gonna start there, and then just want to build out something about Jesus this morning for you. And I believe like something's gonna click in place this morning that's gonna cause movement, spiritual movement in your life. Now, this is a very well-known scripture, right? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. This scripture kind of brings heaven and earth together for us. It creates a touching place for us between the seen and the unseen, between the eternal and the temporal. Okay? Do you guys know that God has priorities? Okay, this scripture brings us and gives us a glimpse about his priority, the kingdom. Yeah. The kingdom, right? And then Jesus says, and his righteousness. Now, when Jesus says, and his righteousness, he is not adding something to the kingdom, but he is highlighting something within the kingdom. And what is highlighted in the priority of the Lord is his righteousness. Jesus Christ's righteousness. Okay? Now, the word I want you to see there is his. It is his kingdom and his righteousness. It is the kingdom of Jesus Christ and it is Jesus' righteousness. So Jesus is highlighted within the world of the Lord. Why is that? Because he is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. There is only one way to step into the eternal or the unseen and to the spiritual, and that is through Jesus Christ. Any other way is illegal and demonic and opens up to the demonic. But if we go through the door, we have legal access into his world. Are you guys with me? Okay, where are you seated? On earth or in heaven? According to Ephesians, you are seated in heaven. Where is God calling your mind to be anchored? Earth or heaven? Heaven. Okay, so I want to suggest to you, you are not a natural person having a spiritual experience, but you are a born-again spiritual person having a natural experience. You are an ambassador of a world that you cannot see. But you are not from this world, you are from his world. And we are here not to do our business, but to do his business. We are about his business. Are you guys with me? In his name and in his power. I don't toil with my power. I toil with his power. I work with his power to represent his world. Are you guys with me? Okay. So if we understand that and we can anchor ourselves there, we will start to see the life of the kingdom manifesting in us and through us. Okay. It is to come, the kingdom come in you and the kingdom come through you. When the enemy ever asks you who has given you the right to do business in his name, the scripture, his righteousness has. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that gives you authority to do business in his name. Okay. So, but here's the thing now. His world works different than our world. Okay? And when we get born again and born by the Spirit and we step into the kingdom, we step into an unknown world. It's a world that is not known to us. And therefore, Jesus sends us the Holy Spirit, which he calls the guide. And the guide will lead us in all truth in His world so that we can understand it, so that we can bring His world to this world and witness not about ourselves, but witness about Jesus Christ. Okay, are you guys following? Okay, so it's like going to another country. If you want to enter another country, you need a valid passport. Okay, if you want to enter the kingdom, you need a valid passport. Your passport is the blood of Jesus Christ. That is your valid passport to enter the kingdom. Without that, you cannot enter the kingdom or do business in the kingdom and in His name. Now, the kingdom works differently. And in the kingdom, if you want to go up, you have to go down. The kingdom is an upside down kingdom. In the kingdom, you don't aim to be first. If you want to be first, you aim to be
last.
For the last shall be first. Okay? If you want to be great in the kingdom, what do you aim for? You aim to be the least. For that is the great work in the kingdom. The way up is down. If you want to be first, you need to be last. Now, what happens when second things... So this is what sometimes happens. God has priorities. And God has good gifts for us. But sometimes the good things that He gives becomes first things. And His priority, which is should be first, becomes second things. So first things become second, second things become first, and then spiritual life becomes confusing. Okay? I'll explain this in a moment. C.S. Lewis, he put it this way. He said, if you put second things first, you get neither first nor second. If you put first things first, you get first and you get second. Okay, what do I mean by this? God has got amazing gifts to give us and to give you. But the way you get the gifts is not the way we think we get the gifts. Nothing in the kingdom of God can be directly pursued. If you pursue the gifts... I'm going to give you a letter, you won't find it, you won't get it. It's better to pursue the giver of the gifts. Because He's the priority in the kingdom. In a kingdom, the king is the priority. He is preeminent. He is the most important person in the kingdom. You don't pursue what the king can give you. You pursue the king, and you will have the king and what the king gives you. But if we put second things first and first things second, we neither get first nor second. We end up with nothing. And spiritual life, right? Life from the kingdom towards us will dry up instantly. I promise you, a life of faith will become extremely confusing to you. If second things becomes first and first things become second. Now, what I want you to remember is this. It is ultimately all about the King. The gospel is about a person. The person of Jesus. Our message is about Jesus. There is only one gospel because there's only one Jesus. Okay? There is four gospel accounts, but it's all about one man. His name is Jesus. There is only one revelation. That's the revelation of Jesus. Okay? It's not the book of Revelations. There's not many revelations. There's one revelation. It is the revelation of who Jesus Christ is. What is the manifestation of the mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ? It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is the revelation of who He is. Do you guys know that church is not about church? You guys know that? Church is not about church. Church is about Jesus. Say it again. Church is not about church. Church is about Jesus. What makes church, church, is that Jesus is here. Where two or more gather in My name, there I am. That is church. Here comes one. Hold on. Church is not about people. Primarily. Church is about a group of people that is about Jesus. Are you guys with me? What is the church called? It's called the bride of who? Jesus. It is the house of who? It's the house of Jesus. This book, the Bible is not about the Bible. The Bible is about Jesus. He is first. He's everything. Colossians 1 says he's the he holds everything together. He's the beginning, he's the end, he's the first, he's the last. He fills all and in all, and he wants to be all and in all. The Bible is about Jesus. Prayer is about Jesus. Worship is about Jesus. Theology is about Jesus. It's not about knowing more than the person that sits next to you. Amen. Jesus is not a life coach. Jesus is not president. He's king. He owns me. And here's the thing. He can tell me what to do. Some people don't like that. No, Jesus, you follow me. We're going there. And they don't understand why they don't see the power of God manifest in their lives. Like, I'm not here for my business. I'm here to do business in His name. Faith. Do you guys know faith is not about faith? I meet people these days that they've got more faith in their faith than they have faith in Jesus. Right? Faith is a weird thing. Faith is one of those things that if you try and grow it, it won't grow. I'll explain that one in a moment. Faith, I don't know if you've experienced this. It's like when you need faith and you look for it, it seems like you can't find it. Have you experienced that? Okay. So faith is the one thing that if you try and grow it, it doesn't grow. And there's a reason for that. Because your faith never grows in your own effort. If you read the Bible and you pray because you want more faith, you won't get more faith. Because first things has become second and second things first. There's an order that has been disrupted. If I read the Bible and I pray because I want to know Jesus Christ better and have the revelation of who He is and I want to surrender my life to that revelation, I will have faith. Faith cannot be directly pursued. The source of faith should be pursued. And you will have the King and you will have faith. Are you guys with me? If we can get this thing right, then life flows. Life of the kingdom flows. It just flows. Faith is that one thing that if you look for it, you just don't find it. Huh? You stand before impossibilities. You see this mountain. And you shabba da da ba ba. And then you go in here and you try and just, where's the faith? Lord, I don't have enough faith. I don't have faith. You should find nothing here. That is actually what you are experiencing is biblical. It is right. Because you are not the source of faith. Faith asks that I look away from my situation. I look away from myself. And look to the author and the finisher of my faith, Jesus Christ. And as I behold Him, I will have faith. Are you guys hearing what I'm saying? Okay? So, faith is only difficult when you make it about yourself. Faith is easy when you make it about Jesus. Okay? So we train our people, like if you stand before somebody, you're going to pray for somebody. And in my mind, I go to, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. And let me give you into a glimpse of a pastor. We feel the same way. Or I do at least. Quibbers doesn't, but I do. Okay? So I'm like, oh, I don't know how to. I don't know what to do. As soon as I fall into that place, what have I just done? I just made it all about myself. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. then faith is extremely difficult. The other side is like, I can say, hallelujah, I don't know what to do. Jesus, but you do. You are here. You are the author and the finisher of our faith. You see this person. You love this person. What is your heart for this person? And I tap into who he is and I set my gaze on who he is. And all of a sudden, I'm not afraid of missing it anymore because I know he's here, the author and the finisher of my faith, the source of my faith. He is here. And then things start to happen. You know what's the biggest problem for believers is we get reborn in the spirit and then we get taught how to live like Christians in the natural. Worst thing that can happen. Born of the spirit, then we call to live by the spirit. Amen? You need Jesus as much today as the day you gave your life to him. That's the whole point that Paul wants to address in Galatians. How did you start in the spirit and end in the flesh? How did we get there? Jesus Christ. Can you put up that picture? Jesus Christ is all and he is in all. He's the first and he's the last. And he's everything in between. Everything. And the Lord is restoring his image in the church. That's what I believe is happening. God isn't restoring the image of the church. It's not about a brand. He's restoring his image in his church. For the church is his. It's not mine. It's not Kubus. It is his church. We are mere servants in his church. And there are many rivals to Jesus Christ in the church, in our lives, right? At this moment, let me give you an example. The vision of a church can be a rival against Jesus Christ. So we say stuff. What is vision? What is vision? Vision has to do with what you see. Okay? So we make discipleship our vision. And I want to suggest it's not a good vision. And I'll just hold on before you run out. I'm gonna land this in a good place. Because discipleship is good, so don't hear what I'm not saying. But don't pursue discipleship. You see, we want to, our vision is we're going to build church. We're going to make disciples. We're going to evangelize. We're going to plant churches. If we make that our vision, right? We fall again into this trap of making good kingdom things first and putting first second. Vision has to do with what I see. My vision must be that I see the resurrected Christ clearly. And then the resurrected Christ gives me a plan. So many stuff we call vision, it's actually just plans. What is the plan? Make disciples. But I can't make making disciples my vision. He's my vision. I don't aim for discipleship. I aim for Jesus, and then I'll make disciples as I follow him. But as soon as I start pursuing discipleship or church planting or any of these good things, and I take my eyes off of him, these things become dead religious things. There's no life in them because the order of the kingdom needs to be established for life to flow in what we do. So we can do good things that are dead things because we have taken our eyes off Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:18. So all of us have had that veil removed, can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, make us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. That is a vision scripture. I want to know What did Paul say? I want to know. I want to know the best church growth strategy. I want to know how to make disciples. Although those things are good, they are not first. I want to know you. And I want to know the power of your resurrection. And then in your power and in your name, I want to do business for your glory on this earth. Are you guys with me?
Amen.
Listen, there is a fight in this hour for your attention. There's a fight for your attention. We call it Facebook. We call it the Blue Bulls. We call it, probably not here. See, that's my, I'm hurts manifesting. We call it whatever. We call it our salary. We call how I'm going to do make budget. What must be the next step. We call it all those things. And it fights for our attention. The fight is to keep first things first. You see, at the end of the day, it is not about what you will accomplish on this earth for the Lord Jesus Christ. At the end of the day, it is who you become on this journey. Molded and made into the image you behold. Christ. Christ. If He is seen in you, how beautiful. Huh? How beautiful. If words come out of your mouth and your wife knows you well enough to know that is not you speaking right now, but Christ through you, how beautiful is that? How beautiful. How beautiful if you move with His compassion towards His people and He works through you and heals people. That is for us because Jesus Christ came so that He can be all and in all. The fullness of Him, where? In the church. Our inheritance is the fullness of Christ Jesus. I want to read to you, maybe band, you guys can come up and then we can pray for one another. I want to read to you out of Ephesians 1. You can follow on the screen. Just listen to this, and this is my prayer for us this morning. Like I say, this is super simple. But if this isn't in place, there is no life that flows from the kingdom to the earth. And there's no spiritual life inside of us. Listen to what Paul is praying here. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. Not that you may know more than the person next to you. That you will know Him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in His holy people, and His incomparably great power for us who believe. The power is the same as the mighty strength He exerted when He raised Christ from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion in every name that is invoked, not only in this present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be the head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. You know what I find myself... I was almost rebuked by the Lord when I realized how hard I work to stay in control of my own life. How hard I work that I don't have to trust Him. How much I stress that I can just be in control that I don't have to trust Him. Guys, and I don't know where you are in this time. Maybe you haven't been living by faith, but by your challenges. Maybe you've been speaking to the Lord all the time about your challenges instead about speaking to your challenges about God. Maybe you have found yourself at a place where spiritually you have dried up. Maybe you have found yourself at a place where you have more faith in Adam making you a sinner than you have in Jesus making you righteous. Maybe you found yourself at a place where you have more faith in the devil deceiving you than Jesus leading you in this year. Maybe you've placed your hope in other stuff. Maybe you need faith for some situation. Maybe you've lost your passion for Jesus. Maybe you've lost sight for Jesus. Maybe you've lost your hunger to know Him. You've lost your hunger for the King and the Kingdom. You've lost your appetite for the supernatural, and you have just unknowingly settled for the mundane religious activity of our day. Maybe you carry heavy yokes because you've moved out under His yoke, and you're carrying stuff that you should not be carrying. And you are overwhelmed by this year, and the fight is real. The fight is real. The fight is real. I just feel there's an invitation this morning for us to put first things first. And I don't know about you, and if you need to do that, I want to invite you to stand because I want to pray over you. If you know you need to put first things first this morning, maybe you have done it, maybe you need to do it again, but let's say, Lord, I want to determine this, that You will be the first in my life. I want to invite you to stand to your feet. If you want to make that change, if we want to say, Lord Jesus, all these things that shout at me every day in work, I want to fix my eyes on You. I want to see You clearly. And I want to pray that You will give me revelation knowledge of who You are, and that my life will reflect the glory that I behold. And that I will be changed, not into the image of this world, but into the image of Christ. Jesus is loosening the spirit of this world and the grip of the spirit of this world. The grip that lust and provision and all these things have on us. He's loosening that, and He's wanting to take hold of His church because it's His church. Restore His image in His church. Lord Jesus, so we just thank You for clear vision. Lord, I pray today that the spirit of wisdom and revelation will be upon us so that we may know You. I pray, Lord, that the eyes of our hearts will be enlightened in order that we may know You, that we may know the hope to which You have called us, the riches that we have in the inheritance, Lord, that You have given us, which is in us. It is Christ in us, the hope of glory. Lord, forgive us where we have put second things first. Lord, we pray for a divine correction this morning. Holy Spirit, help us. First things first. Jesus, You are first. This is Your kingdom. It is Your righteousness. You have given us life. You own us. It is about You. Jesus Christ, give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to perceive who You are. Lord, we want to pray what Paul prayed. We want to know You and the power of Your resurrection, and not love our lives unto death. We want to thank You for the reality of the kingdom, Father God, and we pray, crash in with Your kingdom. Lord, we pray for angelic visitation. I pray for dreams and visions to be released among us, the power of the gospel to manifest among us in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we belong to You. Take Your rightful place. You are first in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank You that You are unlocking life. And I pray for life right now to start flowing for everyone that is hungry for You in Jesus' name. Lord, we do not want to pursue Your gifts. We want to pursue the giver of the gifts. Lord, we do not want to pursue our purpose. We want to pursue You. And within that, we will find our purpose and our destiny. We want to stop trying to change us. We want to surrender at Your feet and ask, Holy Spirit, not by might nor by power, but change us to Your glorious image. Lord, I pray for a grace that as darkness is coming over the earth, for Your people to arise and to shine. Lord, we determine today to look away from our economy as our answer, or from Eskom as our answer. This earth needs You. its only Savior, its only healer, its only deliverer. There is one name. It is the name of Jesus Christ. Open our eyes to see. Open our eyes to see. Open our eyes to see, Lord. To behold. Father God, I want to pray and release a peace over us where busyness has just overtaken us, where we struggle to quiet ourselves and our minds, and it feels like our thoughts are taking us for a walk. Lord, I thank you that we are not a victim of our thoughts. I just feel this is a word for some of us. You are not a victim of your thoughts. The Lord is saying your thoughts will no longer take you for a walk, but you will take them for a walk. For we take every thought captive that wants to exalt itself against the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it becomes a prisoner of war. We do not listen to that. They listen to us, and we tell them and proclaim truth towards them. Lord, I want to release a boldness for us to stand on your truth. Unwavering, you are the rock. You are the rock. Hallelujah. You are the rock. You know what is true for the person building his house on the rock and the person building his house on the sand? It was the storm. The storm came for both of them, but only one house remained. Oh Lord, forgive us that we try so hard to have lives without trouble. If only my life was without trouble and challenges. Lord, give us faith to walk through them. We want to stop running away from trouble. Give us the grace to lean into them with faith. To lean into the ocean that was in front of the Israelites that you said, "Why are you complaining to me? Move forward." Lord, I thank you that faith is being clicked into place and movement is happening spiritually for us. To move into whatever it is that we want to run away from. To move with faith in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we just bless you, God. We bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name.